All right, well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and get started. I want to make sure we gave everybody about 5 minutes to get inside. So happy in the house and the sun is crazy. So happy Thursday. I hope everybody had a great week so far. And thus far, I hope that we are living the dream of the month. But needless to say, I want us to go ahead and get started. I will go ahead and pull up the agenda for everyone so that we can just follow something. And then after that, while I'm doing that, let's go ahead and just do some quick introductions, just who you are, what you represent, and maybe your favorite part about Capitol Hill. My name is Brittany Joy. I'm the executive director of Capitol Hill United Neighborhoods. And my favorite part about Cap Hill is honestly the community. I love everybody's so different, and you have some dogs, and you got some people with children, and then you have some people that are just like, I'm living my life in this apartment. And I just love that. I love that everybody is so eclectic and different. I will go ahead and pass it to my right, which is Ellen, if you could go next, and then you can pass it to whomever.
Yeah, I'm Ellen Richmond. I live on Detroit Street. My favorite thing about the neighborhood is that all the older homes and the beautiful architecture. Kim is next on my screen.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kim Nussbaum. I live next door to Ellen on Detroit Street, and we moved here about 20 years ago because we love the walkability and the beauty of the neighborhood. I would like to pass it to Mike.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mike Marquez. I'm one of the community resource officers, and I'm born and raised in Denver. So, I like Denver still. So, thanks for having me. Let's see. Next on mine is Randall, BRG.
Hi, team. I am Randall Lancelot. I do work at Denver Recovery Group, but I also live in the neighborhood. I'm at 17th and Race. And actually, what I love about all of it is A, that it's urban. I love the fact that I have multi-million dollar mansions and also government subsidized housing. So it really gives me a beautiful cross section of all the people that live in our city. I will go ahead and go to Batya.
Hi, my name is Batya Stoeppelman. I'm also on Detroit Street. I live across from Kim and across and one over from Ellen. I love the diversity of our neighborhood. We have a huge intergenerational group as well. We had our first community meeting here, and it was wonderful. We had newborn babies to an 82-year-old woman, and I thought it was really special. So there's that. I'm going to give another shout out. I'll say my new favorite thing about the neighborhood is Maria Empanada, which just opened. It's a local business, female owned and operated, and they're wonderful people, and their food's delicious. And I will pass it to who's next on my screen? Charles Moore.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. I bought my first home in Denver at 1270 Marion Street back in 2007. So I don't live in Capitol Hill any longer, but I had a lot of great times there when I lived there. Awesome walkable neighborhood. Ran around Cheesman Park almost every morning, City Park. So it was a fun time. I'm one of the co-owners of the vacant lot at Colfax in Detroit next to the Indian restaurant. So just trying to, get a little more involved with the neighborhood and see what I can do to help improve things over there. Let's see. So next on my screen, Maggie Price, I think, is the one we haven't heard from. Maggie. Oh, sorry,
Maggie,
Maggie,
you're
you're muted.
muted.
Thanks. My name is Maggie Price. In the background, you'll see my partner. We live in the small carriage house on the alley of Fillmore in Detroit. I've lived in this neighborhood most of the time that I've lived in Congress Park, that I've lived in Denver. With few exceptions, I've always lived in Capitol Hill or Congress Park.
Uh,
Is everybody gone? No, there's
I said Lori's here.
yeah.
I know Denise is on.
Erica might be next. Yeah.
Okay. Does that work? Can you hear me? Okay, I'm having a little problems with it. It's an old phone. Hi, my name is Erica Malin. I live at Fillmore Flats, which is right on Fillmore, right behind the clinic in Electronica. This is the third time I've lived in Congress Park, so I really love the neighborhood a lot. I work in Congress Park. I teach preschool at an inclusive preschool. We have kids that have special needs and kids that don't have special needs, and they all learn together, and it's really great. And I just love being in the neighborhood because I have friends and I see the students there, and yeah, it's a great place to live. And who else needs to speak up?
Denise is available, I believe.
Yeah.
Hi, thanks, Brittany. My name is Denise Vincioni. I'm the regional director for Denver Recovery Group. And as you all know, we are at 2822 East Colfax. And what I love about Congress Park is the diversity of, the homes and the people, and of course, the food.
There's a lot of food.
Lori, do you want to go next?
Yes, ma'am. I'm Lori Spurgeon, Assistant Director for Denver Recovery Group. I'm still going with food and definitely agree on the new Maria Empanadas. And I want to add as a new favorite, Batya's amazing wallpaper. I love wallpaper and fun wallpaper. So that's super cute. Thanks
I
for
love
having
that.
me.
Thank you for being here. Did Mike already go? He did. He went second. Who else we have? We have Christy.
Hi there, my name's Christy. I'm the community engagement program manager here at the District 2 station. So I'm not a police officer, but I'm here to help our officers. And I've also been doing this for several years in District 3. I started as a volunteer, and then the police department made a position for the community work and engagement that we do.
Nice. And then I saw Bo just join the call as well. And Bo, we're just doing a quick introduction of who you are, who you represent, and something that you like about Cabo.
Can you hear me? My name is Enoch. I run the Ethiopian restaurant. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to join you via Zoom, but I'm here all in.
Thank you.
I essentially grew up here in this neighborhood since I first moved out here from Ethiopia when my parents opened a restaurant in the late 80s. So I love everything about it. I love the diversity. This is where I learned English. This is home to me. So I just wanted to point that out, and I'm here.
And then I think Ruiz was the last one.
Hi, I'm Hannah Ruiz. I'm one of the community resource officers here out at District 2. I also have been, I come from Denver. I grew up in Swansea, so fairly close to that area. So I've been here for a while in District 2, about 7 years as a community resource officer. I'll go ahead and hand over to my partner, and she can introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Isabella Cervantes. I'm one of the other community resource officers out here. There's four of us up in this office, so it's kind of hard to all have our computers and speakers all going at once, so we kind of just join on each other's. But yeah, like I said, there's only three of us for District 2, so we kind of try and help each other out.
That's awesome. Thank you guys both for joining us. And then, Bo, did you want to go ahead and wrap it up for us?
Are you guys able to hear me this time?
Yes.
Sorry, I was having technical difficulties. I'm one of the, technically, I just represent the owner of the Ethiopian restaurant Structure. I think I heard Henik talking earlier. Henik is our tenant there. Did I freeze?
Nope, we
We
can
can
still
hear
hear
you
you.
both.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm having a bunch of difficulties with my phone here. Sorry, what was the other thing? Something about the community? I went to high school at East, and so I love the area, near and dear to my heart. I essentially grew up in the area as well.
Hi, can everyone hear me? This is Charles
I was going to
Nussbaum.
say, Charles, I see you.
Sorry to, I've been listening, but now visible. I'm married to Kim and I live across from Batya next to Ellen. And we've been in the neighborhood collectively tw 20 years or so. So we've seen a lot of things come and go, and a lot of good, and a lot of things that can be improved. And that's what we're here to help do, to make it mutually beneficial for all. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Charles. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I did speak with Denise. We talked about some of the things that her team wanted to talk about, and they're actually going to go first. So I gave you guys about 15 minutes to go ahead and discuss the things that you guys have done, some of the changes, and then leaving time for some questions as well. And then in the agenda, I also sent the updated points from the neighbors as well. So if Randall or Lori, if you guys haven't seen those additional points, let me know. I can put that document also in the chat so that we can just easily access it. It's up to you all. And then those are just some of the additional points with some amendments that they would like for you guys to look at. So thanks, Kim.
If you could add
So
that to the
perfect.
chat, that would be great, just for easy ease of access.
Yep, Kim just put it in the chat for us.
Oh,
So thank you,
thank you so
Kim.
much. On the link, and it should have.
No worries. And then go ahead, Denise, it's your floor.
Awesome. Thanks, Brittany. Thank you for just letting me, this wasn't a matter of who goes first or not. I just felt like the last meeting, we were pretty rushed in the last 10 minutes to address a lot of the issues that were brought up. We just wanted to acknowledge that we understand the concerns. We acknowledge that there's a lot of work to do still, but we wanted to first start with the progress that we have made on our end, whereas it may not totally seem like a whole ton. But I feel as though it's been very successful. So we called the city for more lighting and found out that, in fact, it is. Not free. It's very expensive. And it would, if the neighborhood wanted to do that, it'd probably have to be a joint effort to put up another pole. But they didn't feel as though it was necessary. So they said any extra lighting that we needed to do would have to be on us. So what we did is we have hired an electrician who will put some floodlights on that alleyway, as well as on right in that behind the building. We understand that over by where the dumpsters are, where those five parking spots are, there is probably plenty of lighting there. If that tends to not be the case, then we will also add one there. We've gone around and we've added more cameras. They aren't fully installed yet. The snow put up, we ended up with a delay because of the snowstorm about a week and a half ago or whatnot. And so they rescheduled that. Lori or Randall might have more info on the date when that is going to be installed. We are getting rid of the five parking spots designated for staff. We are going to give to patients. We're going to designate those as patient parking, as well as one specifically for med ride parking. And in addition, Charles and I, and well, in Denver Recovery Group, I shouldn't say I all the way, but the owners of Denver Recovery Group have come to an agreement on a lease, so that we can lease his parking lot for the parking for our staff and med ride and our patients. So I think that'll probably give us, I don't know, good 20, 30 spots at any given time throughout the day, which I think is going to be incredibly helpful for the parking situation. Although we do understand it's probably still going to need some time to monitor and keep people abreast that they cannot park in the alleyway, et cetera. But I think that will help significantly with everything going on regarding parking. Those are three big ones. We did create a staff sign up for trash on the hour. Staff around the clock should be checking around the building. Once an hour or once a day, it's not necessarily going to, be fully clean all the time, but I think you will see a difference with that. I think we've already seen a difference. The locked dumpster, I understand there's an issue there. We've called waste management and it continues to get cut off and stolen. So we're kind of at a loss a little bit to keep that dumpster locked unless we put our own lock on there. But we're still working through that. We have that issue at almost every one of our clinics that has a locked dumpster.
I put my own lock on there and it's been cut off and stolen.
Yeah, it keeps getting stolen. I mean, I don't know what else, you know, people are using it illegally to throw dump trash. We have reached out to them about graffiti, and we've also are looking into some mural lists for our front windows, as well as better signage. Those are all things that are in the works. And then last but not least, the security. We will have security around the clock from a little, I think it's either right before 8 or 4 o'clock. I am not quite sure what we have agreed upon, but it'll be through the 5 a.m. And we've purchased an extra product, whereas they have a phone and they're going to put scan codes around the building where they'll scan with their phone and on the hour and let us know what's going on in that particular section of the building in real time. And we'll regularly get to pull those reports to see what's going on. They can send them to me daily, weekly, whatever we want. So I think for the most part, that's where we're at. Randall or Lori, am I forgetting anything?
Not that I can think of, but staff have also been monitoring more closely the people parking in the drive-in area of the alley, which are the MedRide people. We've also called the MedRide companies and reported them as well. And that's pretty much what we can do in that regard, ask them to move and report them. And so that I know that we have made a few reports. I know someone had shared in the meetings that they were told they had to wait for 45 minutes and they weren't able to do that. We do wait the time that's expected for the wait time, and we wait and get someone on the phone and make those reports. And so we've been more diligent with that as well.
Yeah.
Perfect. Those sound like some good changes. I think one of the biggest questions would probably be like just timeline, like what you guys anticipate the timeline might be for some of those changes. But I will go ahead and leave the questions up to the community that's on the call. So does anyone have any questions about what was just stated, some of the things that are being updated and some of the changes?
Oh, and I'd like to say that I did see the feces by the dumpster as well. We did look at our cameras, can confirm that people who are doing things like that aren't people that we are associated with. And I did go out there myself and pick up the poop.
I've done it, I guess. Sorry, I don't want to overstep.
Sure, so I will go ahead and unpin, and then let's go ahead and just in case, we do have the react button. It should be at the bottom of your screen. If you click on it, you have the option to raise your hand, okay. And then I can go ahead and call on people accordingly. With that in mind, go ahead. Bate, you're actually already off mute and you had already started talking. So I was looking for my hand first, and then I'll go ahead and call on Kim next. Okay. And then also please be mindful while we're asking these questions. We haven't addressed the updated neighbor concerns yet. So the questions, I would prefer them to be reflective of what you all just found out. Okay.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Brittany, for facilitating. Thank you to DRG for all of those updates and for making those improvements. My question was more just about like the specific updates. So for example, you said that the cameras are installed and they're being monitored. Is this can all staff access that monitoring? I think that a lot of my questions are like, who is the access point? And again, Brittany kind of touched on this, what is the time frame? So, you know, for the floodlights, what would be the time frame? If the cameras are now operational, is that true? Or is this like a time frame that's coming? And if they are fully installed, like who gets to monitor them? And those were pretty much, and the scan on the building, again, these are my questions, all revolve around time frame. So those are my questions. Thank you.
Do you want us to take each one and answer, or do you want to collect all the questions?
What would you prefer, Denise? I can collect the questions for you, or you can answer one-on-one. It's up to you, actually.
I mean, I honestly don't, I don't mind answering them one by one. Okay. So to answer the question around timeframes, I mean, one of the things that I just want to preface this with is that we didn't waste any time. And I want to just acknowledge, I want to be acknowledged for the fact that we are not wasting time. We are in real time making the changes. Things, you know, you make appointments, people come, you have to get, like, I can't give you like a certainty, but I can tell you that everything is happening in real time. And that's the piece that I can tell you. We had the electrician come out today. He's going to give me a bid. Then he has to get his folks scheduled into our schedule. And so, for example, that's where we're at with the floodlights. It took us this long to figure out when the Excel was going to come out and what was going on with the Excel. Of course, you leave a message, you get a phone call back, et cetera. And then in terms of the ADT, same thing. We made a that very next day after our last meeting, I implemented all the requests for all of these changes. And here we are a month later, and this is where we're at. So what I can say is a lot of this is not in our control. ADT came out, they tried to install the cameras, it was too icy, they had to come back, they had to put us in the schedule. And as far as I know, those cameras have not yet been installed. Now, in terms of the monitoring, I know that there has been a request, I saw that in the neighbor's request, that we have someone in real time monitoring the cameras. That is not feasible. We are limited on workforce and our staff. We are going to make some changes, like doing the walk-arounds, the security guard walk-arounds, and we're going to put a monitor at the front desk so that they can be looking up at various times. But you got to remember, we're a medical health facility, and what's going on inside in real time is very busy. And we can make mistakes if we're not attentive to what's going on in the clinic itself. And we just right now don't have the bandwidth to have someone watching the cameras full time. But here's who has access: the front desk, the nurses, all the administrators, all of the clinic coordinators at the staff. So that would be Melissa McConnell, April Wise. Now, they may not be available. They might be in session. They might be dealing with a crisis. So if you think there's something that we need to look at in real time, feel free to reach out to Randall, Lori, or myself. And I believe one of us has always been responsive at some given, at any given time. So I think that answers all of those questions, Bhatia. Is there any follow-up to those?
Thank you. Not really. I just made notes of that. Yeah, because I ended up calling the Magnolia facility, which I know is Suboxone, so it's not exactly apples to apples. And I was just talking to one of their directors there, and I just was so impressed with everything they've done. So hopefully these changes will mirror those changes, because they also, they have a double door for entry. They have extremely strict timelines. All parking is in the back. There's a huge accountability piece. Their providers sound amazing. So I'm hoping, I just was interested to see like how other things go. They also have cameras. Those are constantly monitored. They do not have an armed security or any security at the moment, but they have at times a period of fluctuation. So it was just interesting to kind of like hear how their model is working, and hopefully we can have a similar experience with DRG.
Well, going back to why I wanted more time in the last session, I would like to follow up and clarify the difference between us and Magnolia. Mm-hmm. Magnolia prescribes Suboxone.
Right.
So what happens is, I don't know that everyone else understands this. Mm-hmm. Somebody goes in and they get a prescription, and then they leave and don't return for a month. Our patients have to come in every single day. So the same patients, we serve about 650 patients at any given time across all of our programs. They have to come in every single day. So therefore, we have made access a lot easier for them at this location, which has helped access across the state, which is a whole other topic. But therefore, we get guest dosers from clients across all of the other OTPs, because they don't go to a pharmacy and pick up 7 to 14, 21 to 28 days of medication. Now, when patients are doing better, they can do that. but we have a lot of factors to consider that are all embedded in our federal and state regulations. And so their model is very different. And I don't know if you know this, you have to make an appointment to get in to see them. You can't just walk in. And their hours are and their hours are very limited. So their staffing is less, their own the things that they have to provide their patients are less. And so it's just a very, it's not apples to apples.
And
it's a very different model.
I did not realize that you were open access for real-time dosing. That's actually really, I didn't know that there were guest dosers. That's very interesting to know. Thank you.
Yeah, we have guest, I mean, all clinics are guest dosers. All clinics guest dose for other people across the state because if a patient can't get to their clinic and they want to go to Boulder to work or something, they go to the Boulder clinic. Boulder patients come to our clinic. We've got patients that work in Colorado Springs or have to visit a loved one. This is an opportunity that all OTPs across the country have.
Yeah, so actually it is people also from other states and across the country that go to all clinics across the country nationwide, not just for,
so it,
for us.
Gotcha. I mean, we could easily courtesy dose on a daily basis 100 new patients. Again, not the same as Magnolia. So I just want everyone to understand that that our model is different. And we have different challenges as a result.
I think thank you for that information. I think the only other question that I had, when you said state and federal oversight, is that SAMHSA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
SAMHSA is the federal.
Yeah, sorry.
Right. And then there's
CARF,
the local point people, Tori.
CARF is.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm not going to speak. Go ahead.
Sorry. There's a delay. SAMHSA is the federal government. We also are regulated by the DEA. Magnolia does not have a DEA registration. We do. It's similar to a pharmacy. So inside the building, we have a whole bunch of different controls for the medication because we hold it on site. And then we also have BHA. We have two licenses with the BHA, the BHE license and the CSL. And then we have a CARF accreditation. So CARF is the boots on the ground for SAMHSA. It basically mirrors the federal regulations in real time. As a matter of fact, we're getting surveyed this coming April in a couple of weeks, and we're happy to have you all as stakeholders. That I would love to have you are welcome to come in. They always want to talk to our neighbors, and this is a great opportunity. You know, we want feedback. We want to know what we're doing well. And then you'll also hear that this is a problem that every OTP comes across in the country, right? Because the people that come to survey us also are directors at other clinics across the country.
And with that too, with Magnolia, we have absorbed a lot of their patients. They do not accept Medicaid. And so they are not a company that has a Medicaid option for patients related to licensing. And so that's another difference from us and Magnolia as well.
Thank you for that. Kim, would you like to go next?
Yes, you're going to get two for one in this case because Charles has a question too. I just wanted to follow up on the cameras because from my experience, the constant monitoring of the cameras feels like a really good potential solution because of the nature of, for example, when a car blocks the alley or when someone's behind or in the alley using or whatever it is, it doesn't last for an hour. You know, it's very quick, but it's enough that it causes unsafe conditions in many ways. And so I just wanted to express concern that if somebody is not going to at least have you don't have to sit there and stare at the cameras the whole time. But if they could at least be displayed so that somebody could just quickly glance up and see if there's something happening that needs to be addressed, that just seems more like it's going to be so much more effective than I get that you don't have the personnel to monitor it 100% of the time, but at least to have the cameras available. I just wanted to put that idea out on the table. I think that would make all of the difference in this situation.
Well, they are available, Kim, and they are accessible. We're going to put one more monitor. The front desk is the only group of our staff that doesn't have it right at their disposal, and we're going to fix that. But okay. It, you know, what I'll tell you is that I say that with caution because it's not going to matter. They're not going to catch everything because they're not monitoring it. And I don't want to give anyone the impression that we're going to be doing that. So those things we have to continue to, you know, work through one by one by calling the police, calling the MedRide. Again, we our biggest culprits on the side are the MedRide folks. And hopefully with the parking that we just purchased, that's going to help. So again, we came up with a solution that's fairly costly to us, and we're going to do that to try to help the problem. So I'm hopeful that both all of those things are going to come together collectively, and probably not right away, but I believe over time it's going to work.
Okay. Charles has a question.
Hi. Okay. A couple of different things. One, I'm glad that you're having success with the growth. The thing that seems to us is that the oversight is the challenge because there's so many people coming and going. And it seems like you've expanded space in the building, but maybe don't have enough staff to deal with the growth. So that's my concern is, how much more do you plan to grow, and will you hire enough staff appropriately for that oversight? That's one. And then the parking question, I heard you say purchase, but maybe you can clarify if it's a leasing or a purchasing of the corner property. I know it doesn't conform with Main Street zoning for a parking lot. So
we're not selling parking lot. We're leasing the property and allowing our business to have a parking spot there. We're not selling parking spots, which is the difference. We're not using it as a sold parking lot. We got clarification with the city on that.
Okay, so you have a ground lease for parking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Charles, sorry to butt in on that. I was just, we're just doing a lease from them because basically our project, as I've expressed, is like just not really financially viable the way it was designed, and we'd be getting bid out. So I did speak to your contact, John Hill, at the city, and I've had two calls to him, and he's running some stuff up the ladder for me. But I mean, there's a chance we get an expedited, but basically what I'm doing, I'm going to go back and I'm hoping it's not a full redesign. I'm hoping it's just a major revision to our site development plan, but I'm going to add another level onto it. I mean, the reason we ended up with only 11 units and 8 parking spots was due to the Denver parking requirements under the zoning code. So, you know, like any project I've done, we always got to figure out how many parking spots can we get here. And then you kind of, that dictates how many units you end up developing. And so with the new parking requirements coming in this summer where there's basically not going to be parking requirements, right? So what we're going to do is add a third level on there. So I'm hoping it'll go to, you know, maybe like an 18 unit project versus 11. And then I got like a viable project on my hands, but it's just going to take a little bit of time to get there. So it just seemed like a pretty good win-win to let the clinic use it as an accessory use to their business for parking while I'm, you know, working through the redesign. And so we kind of worked on, you know, like a year deal on it. Cause I also think with BRT coming through, I know there's been a lot of concerns about how DRG is going to park with BRT coming through. And I started thinking about, you know, geez, how am I even going to stage this construction project with BRT there doing their stuff too for the next year? So I don't know, to me, it kind of seemed like a pretty good solution for everybody, at least in the short term. And in our understanding with zoning is that, yeah, I don't think I could like set up a parking lot and charge people, but if it's a lease with an accessory use to a nearby business, my understanding was that it's okay. But that's my thoughts and all.
Okay. So short term, a 1-year deal, yep. Seems like a temporary solution to at least the parking issue, if the delivery people and the patients and clients and staff will use it. So that,
agreed.
Yes, we have to do that while you plan the rest of the expanded project, which seems promising. Okay. And then one more thing. I was just going down the alley leaving for work and saw, I'm not saying it's a patient. I'm guessing that it could be because how would anyone else know in that area. But there's a little trap door. I think I sent a picture to Bo that somebody opened up the door, reached in and pulled out a green straw that presumably had something in it, and then continued to walk east on Colfax. So I think it's just another example of no one sees it on the camera. No one knows if it's your patient or not. It's an activity that looks questionable. So I just am pointing that out. And we appreciate everything that you and Bo have done to secure that lot. And now it looks like the lot's going to be wide open for parking and for additional drug use, and deposit, you know, a depositing place for the dosing cups that are plentiful in your property. So that those are our concerns. I mean, we love the fact that people are getting treated and hopefully getting improvement in their health, but it's still causing suffering for all the people that live and go to school and conduct business nearby. Thank you. I don't know who wants to respond to any of that, but
I mean, it doesn't really sound like there's a response, because we've given a solution, and until we work through it, we're not going to know if it works. But you know, we're continuing to work through it. Like I said, we also, one thing that Charles, you didn't also acknowledge, is the security points with the they call them tokens, but basically they're going to walk around and take pictures at various intervals throughout the day and send to us what they find, whether it's, you know, drug paraphernalia or patients sleeping or all the other things that you've seen, or possibly just, you know, individuals that are unhoused or whatnot, or other people that are friends, or I don't know, but you know, there's other, we've got a lot of solutions going on at the same time.
Denise, there is a question in the chat. However, I did want to say something really quickly. And to Denise's point, Charles, I do think that at this juncture, they've given us some solutions. And so we do actually have to be patient and see what the outcomes are. Because I think that if we completely negate the growth that the clinic is trying to acquire, we could also knock out the wind in their sails for trying to assist. So I think that some of these things are also... some of these things are preventable, and I completely hear you in that, like, now we have 20 new spots and now we have, you know, all those things. But I think that if we can give the clinic a chance to, one, try it, because we did suggest that they get new parking spots. So they're trying to do some of the things that the neighbors are asking. And I think that at this time, let's just that's why at the bottom of the agenda, it is like, what is our timeline for what's next, so that we can actually say this isn't working. Or this is working. Thank you guys for your work. And that's just truth, right? Ellen, I do see your hand raised. I do want to go ahead and acknowledge that.
Thank you. I was wondering whether the security measures will extend to the parking lot once DRG has that under lease, because you could easily see a lot of these issues just migrating over there and getting bigger with a bigger footprint.
I'm not sure. I can't answer that at this point, but I do know that it will be considered an extension of Denver Recovery Group, right? So.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
We lost her. And so.
I thought she had stopped.
Yeah. Okay. No, we have to make sure that we get the spots and get the lot going. And then once we get that going, to again, get with the security company and find out, you know, what the options are with extending that contract and extending that space. But it is an extension of DRG. The staff will be going through and doing the walks in their walks that they're doing from the staff perspective. And, you know, as they get out of their cars and as they're going through the property and going to work and going home for the day, they'll be mindful of what's going on around them. And people in the community who are basically trespassing on a property that they don't belong in, we would ask them to leave, whether they're a patient or not our patient, because we wouldn't want people also kind of hanging out around our cars either, right? Just like anybody else. And then what else was I going to say? Oh, we are going to work, I think, with Charles to see about getting lighting extended or fixed on potentially that side of the building that's there, and maybe some of the fencing to increase lighting to the area as well. Again, if this works out as an opportunity, which we're very hopeful for, our staff will be very helpful. We're very happy to have their own parking and the ability to not have to get tow tickets every Wednesday or Thursday or whatever those days are for sweeping.
Yeah. And when I met with DRG and their staff, you know, about this potential parking solution, yeah, I expressed those same concerns because, like, I don't really want to be dealing with, I mean, I know what vacant parking lot can open up to as well. So, and, you know, I mean, I think they're obviously making, they got a lot of pressure from the neighborhood on them right now to do the right thing. And so I think I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We're going to sign, you know, an agreement and get them going on it. And if it turns into a big issue, you know, then it's just going to be something we're going to have to address. And actually, Bo, with you on the call, it would be helpful for the parking lot if DRG could work with you. And, you know, I can get involved too. But if they've already got an electrician they're bringing on to help light some stuff up, is some of those, if you'd be open to it, you know, just improve some of that lighting you have in the exterior of your building to, you know, to help light up the parking lot.
Yeah, like I mentioned, we could certainly look at that. But as far as a budget goes, and we spent quite a bit of money on that fencing, so we'll have to figure out how much money we could put into that at this time.
Yeah, well, it'd be, you know, I mean, it'd be probably a shared expense or something we'd figure out, you know.
Yeah,
so
talking about a shared cost, I think would be.
Yeah, if it's a shared cost, we'd be happy to help and do what we can.
Because I think that'll be huge, is having that lit up well with, you know, some motion detector lights.
Point them straight at the parking lot in the alley. That sounds great.
Yeah, and that's what our lights are looking at also for our floodlights. They'll be motion activated, so people will be less likely to want to sit there and hang out if they walk to the side and a big bright light shines in their face. Not so cozy as a dark alley the way it is now. So we are looking forward to that as well. And then we are looking at fencing on the back part of our building where we've blocked off, hopefully like trying to block off that back area with our dumpsters. So we are looking at getting some quotes for that area as well and extending the fencing. The issue that we're going to run into is the fire department. We have a back door there and it's an emergency exit. So I'm not sure how much we can block off in that area due to the emergency exit and the fire department requirements.
I know that Maggie did. Thank you, Lori, for that. And thank you, Charles and Bo, for being conduits in the space to make sure that things happen. I know Maggie had placed in the chat, and I also see her hand raised, but in the chat it says, has there been any thought to using a service that specializes in medical waste? So that would be a question for Randall or Lori, is there any thought to a service that specializes in medical waste?
We have looked into that. It is extremely expensive. Extremely expensive. We do have medical waste that picks up our disposal that's inside the clinic. And we have that for, you know, our needles that we use for blood draws and TB testing. So we have that picked up accordingly with a waste company for that. But for the bulk waste pickup is extremely expensive. We can look into that again. It's probably been a year or so. I just don't know that anything's changed in the last year for that. So again, looking at, you know, what we're able to do in that area is a little bit limited with the cost.
Sorry, I'm Erica. I'm having a little difficulty. My phone is on its way out. I'm getting a new one tomorrow. But so I'm sorry to bust in. So I was just wondering, so with parking and just wondering, like, if just currently maybe, and I think it's just like a really simple fix, because we get a lot of people parking in our apartment lot, and it's not just the medical drivers, it's also the clients. And a lot of times I go out there and I politely tell them that they can't park there because it's private parking and parking by permit. And, you know, now lately I've been calling the clinic or coming in to tell you guys, but I think this might just be, you know, even temporary till the parking lot goes in, if you could just put us just a sign up by your front door, or just that says, and even add a little color, like maybe, you know, accentuate, like maybe put absolutely in red, but do not block the alley or park in the apartment complex. You know, I think, you know, some people will see that and say, oh, crap, we're parked here, we need to move. You know, I think that might help a little bit. And I'm wondering if you guys are willing to do that, because, you know, I don't want to be angry or frustrated. You know, I want people to get better and to support, but it's really hard when there's cars parked, because I face the back, parked there, and then they clean out their cars, and there's just a bunch of trash to pick up a lot, and or people have their dogs in their cars or their dogs outside of their cars, and so, you know, my dog was attacked by a dog and by clients of the clinic. And, you know, I came into the clinic pretty hot that day because my adrenaline was raised and my dog was injured. And, you know, I never thought that two houses from my residence that would happen. So, you know, I'm just thinking that maybe if there's like a sign that says, you know, please, you know, absolutely no parking in the alleyway. Because it's not just it is the medical drivers park there a lot, but it's also the clients or their, you know, or their friends that take them. So, you know, maybe just put up a sign on the computer and put that maybe by the door might help.
I see you came off mute. Go ahead.
Hold on, Randall. Oh. I was just going to say, we have put signs on that wall that there's no stopping, standing, or parking in that alley.
Could you put in the apartment parking lot too, please?
Well, no, I mean, they're just, you know, they're posting signs. It says no parking here, but anything that needs to be on your building, you have to get from your landlord. We can't do that legally.
We have it. We have on our building. It says no parking permit, you know, permission by permit.
And I totally get it.
So maybe just like print it out. Just like, please don't park in our parking lot like that.
Erica?
So, yeah.
You know, I'm happy to do a sign. I can tell you they're ineffective. But you know what? If it's going to be something that would appease the neighbors and that's something you want us to do, we will do that. What we're doing, I believe, is relational with our patients and
right.
talking
but
to them.
I go to, but sometimes, but I go to restaurants or other restaurants that say, you know, and the parking lot by them is not for their business. So they have signs and it just says, please don't park, you know, don't park in this parking lot. But and they have the signs up. So I know it's relationship. I know you want to have that relationship.
Well, Erica, can we talk about that example? Because I agree with you. There are, like, for example, I go in a neighborhood where I live. There's a huge parking lot that gets overpacked with people parking all over. And there's a sign here that says dry cleaner only. There's a sign here that says curbside pickup only. And I constantly see the neighbors going out there frustrated that people are parked there and they're gone. They're in a restaurant. They're at one of the other locations in the Goodwill, all these things. But those are parking lots owned by them, right? So we're going to put those signs where we own the spots about where we can, just like Randall said, on the side. And we'll put a sign inside the building saying, do not park on the apartments. But I can't put a sign on your apartment complex. Saying,
no, I don't want this. Sorry, I don't want the sign on our apartment complex because we have a sign there. I just like having a sign at your entrance or where they check in.
Yeah,
they
we don't can do park that.
It. That's all.
That's an easy fix. And by the way, Erica, I was wondering who it was whose dog bit another dog, and I heard that was you. If you don't mind talking to me offline about that, I would like to talk to you about, you know, if in fact we need to compensate for your dog's injuries. We would not want that to happen, especially if it happened on our property, but I never could get that information.
No, so, it didn't happen on your property. It happened like almost next, it happened in front of the house a couple
But if
like two
you have
houses
information about whose dog it was, all those things, I mean, I didn't have, I was shooting from the hip and no one had the information I needed. So if you want to reach out to me and I can problem solve it with you, that'd be great.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I dropped off at a question about security in the parking lot. Did that get answered? I don't know if Randall and Lori took
Yes,
that.
Lori did go ahead and chime in on that question. So thank you, Denise, and thank you for hopping back on.
Yeah, of
I do.
course. We see it as an extension of our property and we would be monitoring it.
I love that. Ruiz is next.
Hey guys, I'm speaking for Hannah. Because we just wanted to address what, because there's one BPD question in the notes. So we figured we'd answer that, see if there's any other questions, because we do have to get going. But the one question in the chat is, has there been any increased patrols in our section of Colfax? And I would just say that the police officers are up and down Colfax all day, every day, 24/7. So I'm sure if we ask anybody, they could say they see patrols being done on Colfax. But then the thing that concerns me, because I'm not worried about patrols, because we're up and down there all day, every day. But the other issues, they're saying criminal activities have gone up, not down. So my question is, what criminal activities are you talking about? One, two, are you guys calling in to report activities, or are you just seeing them not reporting? So if somebody can answer that for me.
Hi, my name's Charles. Hey, last Sunday I called the non-emergency line because there were three things happening. Have no idea whether it was all related to the clinic or not. But there was a guy sitting in front of the Ethiopian restaurant with all of his belongings strewn out on the sidewalk. So I wanted someone to come by and just check, is he okay? Is he waiting for the clinic to open or close? Does he know what day it is? I mean, any of that. Then there was two individuals dumpster diving in the clinic's dumpster. I don't know all the stuff that's in the dumpster, but I imagine they thought something valuable was going to be in there that they could use or take or sell. So that was the second thing. Then further up the alley, closer to our home, two people passed out in the alley. That I just wanted someone to do a wellness check and make sure they were okay too. So there were three things that were happening all at the same time. I didn't pinpoint it on the clinic at all. I just said, hey, non-emergency, three situations, one car, one officer, two officers, whatever at the time, left my name and number, never heard back. So I don't know. There was plenty of feedback on the text about wanting to know for me to answer questions or fill out a survey. That's not really what I wanted to do. I just wanted to make sure that someone could come and check these out and let
Yeah.
me know.
So good. So that's a good example. So we'll tackle the first one first. As far as the person that just had clothes strewn about, I mean, doesn't sound like there's anything criminal there. Sounds like you're looking for some sort of welfare check. So I'm not sure if they ended up dispatching a star van or whatnot like that, because based off what you're telling me, I'm seeing a criminal element to that. But we could look into that call to see how it was dispatched. Did you ask for contact? Because the dispatcher asked you very specific, do you want contact? How did
And I
you?
said yes. I gave
You
my
said
cell number
yes.
and said yes.
Okay. So on that, so somebody should have called you back on that to at least give you the disposition of what happened. And then the next one, it's not illegal to dumpster dive, so I'm not really sure if we even probably responded to that call. And then the third was the people you said were sleeping, or what were they doing? You said they were laying down or
They were
sleeping. Were they
completely
on
passed out. They were on something passed out.
They were
On something.
not quite
They were not.
endangering themselves, but if someone wasn't paying attention, yes, they could have gotten run over. And
Where
so we did.
where were they sleeping at, or where were they laying? Or were they standing? What were they doing?
They were lying down and was passed out.
Where at?
Midway up the alley between 14th and Colfax, on the east side of the alley, And I described it right by the sort of a white or light gray garage with a big blue door. Only one like it on the alley. Mm-hmm. And they could have gotten up and left earlier. But we called on these three things because too many questionable things that shouldn't be happening.
Well, and the other thing is, like, sometimes we do see drug use in the alley. The challenge when we call, it's you guys are so stretched thin that nobody can come soon enough.
I wanted to chime in. Oh, sorry. I thought you were done.
Go ahead. I'm done. Go ahead.
So I've called about 30 times in the last month, probably one or two times a day. All the things that I've seen have been active drug use or drug sales. I kind of limit my calls to that just because of the criminality involved in that. I also know that on at least four occasions, some of our neighbors have been, asked people very nicely to leave, like you can't sell or use drugs here. This is also around the time that East High School with 2,600 kids lets out. I don't want to name anybody in this group, but there was somebody who was previously on this call who did confront a drug sale and drug use. He had both a knife and a gun pulled on him. If I don't see him here anymore, but if he'd like to speak to that experience, his wife has now asked him not to get involved in any of those matters. I have confronted people in my own car with, I would say, a very erratic and aggressive behavior. I happened to be in my car. I was not on the ground. And I have a 115-pound dog who's with me, so I feel protected, but I've always registered those. For the more, I would say, the larger group that I saw dealing, I would say, a considerable amount of drugs during lunch break, I did call 311 to register that. I didn't think that it was an active emergency considering some of the other things going on in the city.
Hold on, frequently. You called 311 for what?
This was for like a larger group, maybe 8 to 10 individuals. I have photos of it and I put all my photos in.
8 to 10 individuals doing what?
Selling and using drugs, selling at first, okay. Using second.
Okay. But just so you know, before we move on there, I want to make sure we don't ever request anybody to report that to 311. I'm not really sure where that even ends up. We okay. Never that. So I don't know who told you to do that, but you know,
I just assumed.
Never tell you that. Okay. Yeah. We okay, will so never tell you that. We will always tell you if you ever see any type of crimes in progress that you report that to 911.
Okay, that's really good to know. I was going to say because I was on hold for 45 minutes at 311, and I kind of.
Oh, can I?
This is sorry. My husband's had a lot of.
Yeah, can I just jump in for 1 second? Yeah, the issue is I walk there and pretty much see you could see a crime pretty much every day. That might be improving now because the main spot was in that little nook behind the Ethiopian restaurant. Which was kind of out of sight. That was a big spot for use and sales. But basically, it doesn't seem like an emergency, right? So you want to call the non-emergency line. And I always got to the non-emergency line by calling 311. Generally, I'd hang up before I got to anybody. I'd get through 311 and they'd say, we're transferring you to the non-emergency line. And then usually it'd be like 45 minutes or so. If you'd waited out, it'd be about 45 minutes before you actually get somebody. And the question is a reasonable question. Is the crime still in progress? And the answer is generally, I don't know. I'm not camping out here watching people sell or use drugs. So I don't know if it's still in progress. But the alley has just been an absolute hotbed the last few years. I mean, in a way it never was before, of just constant use. I walked back there once. There was a guy with a needle in his arm and a girl in her underwear.
I get it because you're right. You guys, we have dealt with numerous emails and phone calls and whatnot about this and about this particular area. And so, what I recommend on that is one, call 911 whenever you guys see any type of crimes in progress. So, drug use or drug sales, call 911 to report it so that we at least have documentation of it. Number two, please email me or Hannah or Isabella, any one of us. If you have photos, like somebody mentioned, they have some photos or license plates or whatever it is, please send that to us. But be descriptive in your email to us because we have an in-house narcotics team. Now, there's only like three or four of them. There's not that many. That's for all of District 2. So you guys are going to get on the list to deal with narcotics complaint. But they will get to it eventually, and they have undercover. So they'll go down into that alleyway, and they'll sit there for a while and watch it. The other thing is, please make sure in your email that you say whether you're willing to be called or not by the narcs, because they would love to be able to call you guys, especially since you have eyes on the spot 24/7, right? They want to call you guys and you know, who knows? Maybe one of their deals just went down and they're going to be, you know, they got some 2 hours of free time or something, right? They may call you up and say, hey, are these folks there? Are they acting up? Are they selling drugs? Whatever. But just let me know, or let us know on the email if you're willing to cooperate there. They still keep you, they'll still keep you confidential, because I don't want to get too much in the grass, but they can still keep you confidential on that. Because you won't necessarily be the victim. The officers and detectives will go down there. They will witness the drug transactions, and then they will base their actions off of what they witness. So if they see hand-to-hand drug transactions going on and whatnot, they do not use your complaint necessarily to have to deal with that. So they can keep you confidential. That's a very basic ABC way of explaining it, but just so you know.
And Mike, do you have to request to be remain anonymous, or will they just do that automatically?
They'll just do that automatically, but perfect. You can put on you can add it to your email. We request to remain anonymous. Now, when you don't remain anonymous is if somebody is trespassing on your property and you have to be willing to sign a ticket.
Okay.
Because remember, that's your property, not ours. So you have to say, hey, look, this person is, you know, obviously on something. We're sleeping on my driveway, passed out on my driveway or front porch, and they are trespassing, right? And you want to sign a complaint against them. That is, you know, we can't keep you confidential then because you're the victim.
Okay.
So, and that feeds into Kim's question, because Kim did ask, I am monitoring the chat.
No, that's okay.
Kim did ask about a trespass agreement with DRG, and is it possible for, and I guess this would be a good question for Mike to also be able to kind of home in on, but can they as neighbors call regarding trespassing, or does it have to be the business that calls regarding trespassing?
Well, that's kind of touchy. It all kind of depends. During the hours of operation, we would probably say it needs to be the DRG, General Recovery Group, right?
Yeah.
It would probably need to be them, because they're the ones that need to say, hey, yes, whether these people are trespassing or not. Now, if it's, I'm just going to exaggerate here, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and they're closed and they've got five people hanging out on their property, and for whatever reason, one of you guys are up at 2 o'clock in the morning witnessing this, then absolutely you could call that in.
Can I
part of the neighborhood group.
Can I ask a clarifying question? Are sure. You saying trespassing on our property or their property? What do you mean by trespassing?
I think they said trespassing on their property, right? Whether or not if the community could be eyes and ears for their property, right?
So you would put a trespassing. So let's just say. They're three doors down. They're passed out on the street. You would want us to call that trespassing on our property, even though it's down the street?
No. I think what he's saying is during business hours, if there's someone that your organization does not know or needs to be trespassed, it would be your job to call to trespass them. The question was, should the neighbors also be able to call and trespass people? And I think Mike was saying that if it's during you know, business hours, it's actually on the business to take care of who is trespassing on the business. But after hours, let's say at 1 a.m., if Kim sees someone that shouldn't be on your property, she can then call and let them know that there's someone on your property that should not be there because it's 1 a.m. You guys are closed.
Well, one of the things we've asked you to do, I just want to just remind everyone that when you have come in and asked us to go outside, if in fact we knew the person or didn't know the person, my understanding on trespassing is you have to ask them to leave. And every time we've done that, we've been successful. So I think that, you know, I would prefer that, yeah, we're contacted and we try to handle it. And then if they cannot leave, then we would call the police.
Okay. Who's speaking there? Is that Jake?
This is Denise.
Yeah, Jake. And Jake is actually Denise, her phone
number. Denise? Okay, Denise, I think we're talking apples and oranges here. So do you know what the trespass agreement is?
No, not really. That's
okay,
what I'm trying
to
understand.
Okay, so there we go. So that's the issue. Okay, so the issue is you don't know what the trespass agreement is. So basically what the trespass agreement means is you all would have to agree to the trespass agreement first and foremost. So it's up to you. You don't have to. But by signing the trespass agreement, then that means that after hours, so again, we're going to use 1 o'clock in the morning, if somebody is passed out trespassing, walking around on your property, and one of your neighbors happens to see it, you've already pre-authorized by signing the trespass agreement that if the Denver police contact somebody on your property after hours when you guys are closed, that you all are willing to press charges for trespassing against that person. Again, we can't force you to do that. Right. That's up to you. That's just a tool that a lot of businesses use and a lot of businesses like it. That's it.
Right. I appreciate that. But unfortunately, we have extended hours, so that probably wouldn't work for us because we'd prefer to be notified and then tell the person to leave and then call ourselves.
My suggestion would be make sure that the community there that knows that we're always getting phone calls and emails from, that they just make sure they know that they've got a good phone number for you guys and that you guys are willing to go take care of that yourselves.
Right. We probably could. There are some hours that we could talk about, Kim, to make that agreement possible. But during the regular hours, we definitely want to be able to address the potential population or even individuals that do not necessarily belong to us.
And Kim did put in the chat that the restaurant has one as well.
Yeah, we're open really late. So this is part of why I'm sure that the problem is expanding.
Yeah, that makes sense. I see that Charles, you guys have your hand up again.
Hi. Real quick, I really want to say thank you to Denise for getting all these things put in action. One question specifically about this, because when we've gone to the clinic and someone has come out that knows the patients and calls them by first name, we know they're connected with the clinic. The problem that I see is that the security people who change over time don't know the clientele. They might see something and do something and clock in with their phone, but there seems like there might be disconnect because they don't know the clientele and are able to say, I mean, maybe both are going to say, you got to go, right? Can't stay here. And I hope that would be the case, but we're opening up a bigger can of worms with a whole parking lot full of potential extra exposure and in an invitation to gather and congregate still behind the Ethiopian restaurant within the parking lot. So there's the concern, and trying to get the security people up to speed with who the clientele are, just like the people at the front desk.
Let me ask you this, Charles. Are you, if you had your way, are you saying that we don't entertain the parking lot idea? It's a cost that we don't have to incur, and it's definitely not a secure situation because at any time, the way the lease is going to be written, if the city kicks us out or whatever happens, it's not a secure situation to begin with. But I definitely don't want to open another can of worms. And if that's the case, we'll just leave it as it is.
No, I think it's worth the try to win-win for Charles Moore and his group. I think if it takes to the parking problem, blocking the alley away, that's awesome. I mean, obviously we've already said this is a short-term solution because we hope his project gets underway two or three levels. Yes. The challenge is going to be, we need to get rid of the problems with the area. I'm not saying clinic. I'm just saying within the area, the drug use, the drug sales, and the loitering and all that stuff. And we're doing that, which we appreciate, but his project to succeed needs these problems to go away, as does the hotel project across diagonally across the street. So we're all trying to win-win here. You're trying to take care of the clientele. You're trying to create safe environment for your people, the clientele, and us, which very appreciative. I think the parking is going to be, it needs oversight just like the clinic and the surrounding area to the clinic. That's all. I mean, behind the restaurant is still very vulnerable because it's hidden. Erica will have a front row seat.
You know, we are contemplating some different ideas around that, which one of them is that we don't open it up to the patient population and we do a code and a gate, you know, code to get into the parking lot, et cetera. So it's not necessarily true that that'll open us up to another problem there, because I agree that that potentially could be an issue, and I'm not sure we have the bandwidth to monitor it in that way. But, you know, we'll definitely think through all those details.
And I saw it was shared in the chat that the agreement doesn't exist at the Ethiopian restaurant.
I just saw that too.
And Mike put that in the chat.
So I
He
didn't
said that the
have the chat,
trespassing
so
agreement on file, there is no trespassing agreement on file or
So
active trespassing agreement on file for the
I didn't
Mike.
think there was, because we've called as well at on in that about that corner, and we've been told that we couldn't do anything about it.
So does somebody try to
Well, I
contact?
thought somebody, Officer Ruiz, are you on here?
Yes, I am.
Okay, hi. I talked to you one night after I had called 311. You were my callback.
Yes.
And my understanding was that you were
He gets
calling
the
the
phone.
agreement.
If he didn't, I have a big puzzle for him. He's been up all day. I mean, just so true.
We can hear you.
Oh.
My understanding was that you guys were connected, you and Bo connected about regarding the no trespass agreement.
No, they, I believe Bo was going to reach out to them to contact me, because all we need to do is email them a copy. They need to fill it out and send it right back to us, and then we would put it in our file. We do not have one on file at this time.
We can make
Okay.
that happen. I thought Hanik had, but it sounds like that is not the case. So we will get you guys one ASAP.
You can actually,
Great.
I can leave it here. Anyone can email me for a trespass agreement that could be for private residents or businesses, and we can connect you with a trespass agreement. You send it back to us, submit it, and it's on file.
Those only last 1 year, is that correct?
It's 365 days from the day of signature at this
Okay.
time.
Understood. Thank you.
And hey, real quick before we have to leave, Kim, I believe it was you and whoever the gentleman there with you. If you guys call 911 to report a crime, and you do ask for contact, and for whatever reason the officers don't call you back, please email me the date and time that you call so I can research that, because then we will make sure that that gets addressed at roll call. I do know sometimes officers, you know, they're going call to call to call, which they always do. Sometimes they forget to call people back on some things like that. So especially on something like this, where it's kind of a, you know, dumpster diver and this and that, like they may not. But if it's something where there's a crime happening and they don't call you back, let me know and I'll research that for you.
Really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thank you all for coming. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks for inviting us. We appreciate it. Any other questions for us before we go?
Thank you so much for your
Thank
time.
you all. Thank
Appreciate
you
it,
so
Mike.
much. And I did take copies of their email addresses, and I'll email them to everyone after this meeting. Okay.
Thank
Great.
you.
And I left my email in the chat also, but if you're going to send it out, that's fantastic. And
I
then
got you
just another
guys.
quick reminder, you guys, in the short term for narcotics complaints, call 911, report it so that we know about it. But obviously this is a ongoing issue. That's why I'm asking for the email, the descriptive email, so that we can actually forward that tip onto our narcotics team so they can have the longer term investigation.
I
Got
did have one more question, Mike, officer.
Sure.
Is there a co-lead, like a mental health co-lead responder group in the Denver area? I understood that there was for mental health issues,
Oh,
and
we've
I
got a
couldn't.
star band. We've got the outreach case coordinators. Absolutely.
Maybe we could use those numbers as well.
Because I don't know that we.
So if you want the Star Van, you just. They are dispatched through our call center. So if ever you're calling the non-emergency line, which is 720-913-2000, or the 911, those go into our communications bureau. It doesn't matter if you call non-emergency or emergency, same communications bureau, and they will dispatch the Star Van or a car with the outreach case coordinator with it.
Is there any language that we should use to trigger that Star Van response?
Sure. There's a lot of times where, like, for example, the gentleman that was speaking earlier said that there was a guy laying there with a bunch of clothes hanging, you know, spewed about the street. I mean, that's probably one that the dispatchers would automatically dispatch a Star Van to. But the language would just, I would just say, be specific. We've posted information about the Star Van on social media, on regular mainstream media, on our Facebook page, all over, just about everything, just about every single meeting we go to, we talk about it. So I would just say, ask them for a Star Van, if that's what you would like, or an officer that has a co-responder with them.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that. That's very helpful.
Thank you so much for that information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because then it takes the guesswork out. Because like I said, our dispatchers, they already know about this resource. So they try to read between the lines as much as possible. But since you folks are educated about this now, I would say just be direct.
Thank you so much.
And you said either ask them for a Star Van or an officer with a co-responder. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Right.
And then, thank you.
And then just remember, I mean, the co-responders, we like have one on duty. So again, it may take a while, but... Again, somebody sitting there with clothes just, you know, around the sidewalk, that's not an emergency call. So what I'm trying to say is that may take a while for them to get there. So just be cognizant of that.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Officer Ruiz.
Well, I wanted to just add that brings to light something else that we can do is potentially collaborate with that co-responder group to do regular drive-throughs through the alley, because we do know that a lot of what we are, that we deal with is mental health issues. And, it's not always as cut and dry. I mean, we might get the police out there and they might take them to jail, but they'll be right out tomorrow. You know, this is going to be an ongoing problem. And I think, you know, any type of resources we can provide them in that situation, the better.
I love that you said that, Denise, because my truth is, and I know about the Star Vans, people rarely call and ask for those. Mm-hmm. And yet there's federal and state dollars that pay for those. So as a collective whole on this call, this is definitely a better next step for most of us than simply just, to your point, calling the police. They come, they take the person away, and then the next day they're back.
Right, like what he said too, is someone sleeping on the sidewalk with their clothes spread out isn't a crime.
Right.
The mental health component and still getting them potential services and into a shelter or whatever they can do from that perspective is most helpful and most appropriate in response to those types of situations.
I love that. Thank you, Lori. And also just remembering that these are just humans that are struggling,
right,
that are here to get assistance.
I was actually lucky enough. Because again, you know, working in this realm and I do live in the similar area, I had a young man last winter it was who was not well. And I called and said, you know, this is not an emergency situation, but it's definitely a mental health situation. And they send somebody with a co-responder, and it was amazing.
All right. So I know Randall and Lori and Denise are still here. Kim, I know your hand is raised. I wanted to go ahead and move to some of the other concerns. I feel like we addressed a lot of them, but I do want us to actually talk about the other ones that were listed on the document provided. But go ahead, Kim, with your question, and then we can move on to some of those other things that we didn't target. Oh, Charles.
Well, I think this has been good. I mean, obviously it's not just clinic related, it's neighborhood related. But when I called the non-emergency line, it was because I didn't know what else to do with those three things that happened last Sunday. So now we kind of, I mean, I'm not saying there's a crime going on. I just want to make sure people are okay too. We have hearts around here. We want to make sure everyone is equally taken care of and getting their needs met, whatever they might be, right? Our need is to make sure that people get help and that they're not hanging out in front of the Ethiopian restaurant, hurting their business potentially, and that their belongings aren't blocking the sidewalk for people that actually need to pass, right? Those kind of things. I mean, we want to make sure people get help, and now we have another source of how to maybe get them served. So thank you.
No, thank you. That was great. Thank you. Let's go to this document. Kim, did you still want to ask a question? My apologies.
No, I don't, just Charles was asking a question.
No, that's perfect. So Kim, if you'd like, you can go ahead and let's go through the document and anything that we missed, because I know we did cover a lot.
Yeah, at this point in time, I feel like, you know, most things have been covered. The security, we'd love to see some security outside. It sounds like that's coming. I think a lot of the things that you know were said tonight are things that we're hopeful for. I think where I'm sitting with right now is, and I know Brittany, you want to schedule another conversation after this. In the meantime, would it be possible just to give an occasional update on progress that's been made? Because I think that would just, you know, help us to know. Because when so far, you know, like I, now that we've heard all the obstacles, we understand. But, you know, in the meantime, it's like for us, our experience, nothing is different. Yet things are happening that we don't know about. So I think it would make us feel better to just know sort of what's in process. And it doesn't have to be a daily email, but just a once in a while of here's a new activity that we thought you should know about, I think would help make us feel better. Because as I said, it's nothing is different. In fact, some aspects it's worse. So that would be helpful for us, I think, as a group.
Okay. Randall, Lori, or Denise, do you think that it would be possible for in the meantime? I mean, I do want us to schedule another chat. I'm also realistic about timelines. And so it seems like from the last month, so much has transpired, but we're also waiting on those things to actualize. So I want, like, I know Charles is like, we've signed, you know, we're signing this lease agreement. We're getting these parking spots. Awesome. Let's go ahead and talk about, like, to Kim's point, like, when is that done? We're getting this muralist. Love that. When is that getting done? Just some like key points for everyone to feel like, not only are you guys saying, we're getting it done, guys, leave us alone. I mean, not that that's what you're saying, but you know what I mean? And then also for the neighborhood to feel like, and they're still listening to us. So is there some possibilities for us to get just some timelines, maybe like every couple weeks or, you know, just for us to have some kind of idea as to what the actual outcomes are happening? Because like Denise, you gave us tons of things that you guys are doing and that you guys are just waiting on someone else, which I hate. I work in nonprofits, so you're always waiting on someone else. But you're waiting on someone else to complete. So go ahead. And if you guys would like to speak.
I can speak to the timing on the lease just quick. I got my office manager working on it as of this morning. So I told her just it should be pretty simple. Just put it together. And I told him I'd have it over for review by the end of this week, with a March 15th start date. And we could bump that up, you know, a few days if the lease, should be pretty basic, right? So hopefully that opens up and solves the parking solution, like, you know, in the next 9 days. So
thank you, Charles. That's awesome.
I think it's awesome too.
Yeah, I want to just say thanks to Charles for being so open about that and understanding. And I know you're trying to get that project off the ground, but I had thought that was a dead end. And so I was really happy to be able to work with you on that. So thank you. And that was such a cool thing. We were looking at other parking options. And so thank you for that. And, you know, again, these things take time because we've been talking about it since last, what? It's been 2 weeks and we're still waiting on it, right? We brought it to 2 weeks ago. So,
no, that's great. I think that like a lot of this, like even to your point, Charles, like you're like 9 days, we're killing it. Love that. You know what I mean? I think that some of those other pieces are some of the spaces where I know like Denise talked about a mural. It's hard to find an artist and then to commission one. So I'm very aware of those things. And this even speaks to the timeline of when we chat next. I know Bo said that he's going to fill out that trespassing agreement. So Bo, if you send us an email letting us know when you've done that or the police, not even when you've done it, once the police have said, yes, it's done. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So that we know that that's done. So that if we call, we have success. Exactly.
Can you guys hear me or am I frozen?
You were going in and out. You were frozen actually for the last 3 minutes.
Okay. Sorry about that. Did I miss something?
No. I was just saying like similar to one of the situations Bo said, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll just fill it out with the police. That's no worries. The trespassing agreement. Perfect. Once the police approve it, just let us know. So those are some of those like quick updates, those quick highlights. Hey guys, really quickly, we already fixed blah, 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 blah. Hope this helps.
Yeah. If you all can hear me now, I'll try to give you my update on that.
You're good. So, Denise.
Kim, when we immediately made the changes the next day after we met. You guys received an email on the 7th. I think we met on the 6th or the 5th. It was the next day or the day after. No, it was the very next day. I met with my team. We put things in motion. Things started moving. What I can tell you is that in the day-to-day of my world, it's going to be impossible. I don't have the time. What I am doing is I'm moving and I've got a lot going on. You know, I try to pass it to Randall or to Lori, but a lot of times it's like they only have piece of the puzzle and there's another piece of the puzzle. So what I can tell you we will do is when these things are accomplished, I will let you know. Like when we get the floodlights, I will tell you. When I get the cameras up, I will tell you. Just like we had the lease, we still don't have the lease. So when that's done, Charles and I will present you with that date. I mean, we can say the 15th, but I mean, anything could happen between now and then. And I've learned that, right? That so many things happen. But we are in motion of all the things, in addition to the security, in addition to our staffing, in addition to some other ideas I have yet that aren't fully formulated. So I will do my best. But the challenge of the time getting away. I mean, if you think about what we've accomplished in a month, you have got to believe that we are working hard. But I am in the world of healthcare, and the same time period, Kim, that I have done all of this, I'm also dealing with 3 patient deaths across 11 programs, and the impact that that has on our system and on our staffing and on everything else that we have going on, it's immense. We have licensing going on. We have accreditation going on. I have reports I have to write. I have 3 grants due tomorrow. So what, I mean, and if I sound busy and stressed, it's because I am. And so is my staff. And so I will do my best. But like I said, at this point, all I can give you is once something is accomplished, I will do my best to get it out to the group. And in the meantime, I will give you my time in these meetings and give you the update of where we're at in that time period.
Thank you for that, Denise. Kim, or did you have any, Erica, Maggie?
No, I think you know, Denise, it's clear that you have enormous amounts on your plate. And I think as neighbors, that's concerning to us. Because it's almost like you don't have the bandwidth because you have too many things going on. And so, you know, we just want to make sure that these things get done. And I don't know, you know, what the solution to that is, but, you know, we want to be a, you know, equal footing. I think both things can be true. I think you can serve your patients and your community. And I don't know what the solution is to, you know, how
you know what, Kim, I can tell you this right now. That if what we have done is not enough, I can tell you that I will not continue to attend these meetings because I will continue to work on it, but this isn't my full-time job, right? Yes, the community is important, and yes, we are rising to the occasion, But I also have other programs that were rising to that same occasion, and we have great relationships in most of our locations as a result. I am open. I will hear what you have to say. And again, I will continue to work towards these issues. But it seems as though nothing seems to be good enough. And therefore, my time definitely can't be used in something that isn't going to be good enough. Doesn't mean that we won't continue to work towards it and all those things might still be true. But I'm not going to sit here and have you tell me that it's not enough. Because I
no,
think
I'm not saying,
heard,
Denise,
I just
Denise.
Heard that I'm in the world of healthcare, Kim. This isn't my full-time job. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And all the things that I've done in between that are, in my opinion, pretty darn amazing. And so, you know, and if you don't believe that, you can talk to other OTP directors and you can talk to CARF as well. And I encourage you to come to that accreditation meeting because
Denise,
I want you to know that this is above and beyond.
Okay. I was expressing empathy for your workload. I really wasn't attacking you or accusing you of anything. I just feel like it's a lot of load for one person. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is concerning because one person can only do so much.
That's attacking. That's making a judgment.
Okay.
Okay. When's the accreditation meeting? Is there a date for that?
There is. I will give you the date and time of the stakeholder portion. I don't have that yet.
Okay.
But it is on the 1st of April.
Okay. Thank you. I think
it's
that
first week of April, it's a few days. And so there's a specific time they carve out to have conversations with our stakeholders. And that's what we'll need to talk with them about once they meet with us and have their plan of when they're here and the time that they're spending. So we can most appropriately reach out to you guys and give you specific times.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for their time. I am going to have to head out. I think the only thing that I wanted to add is that I have actually been to some of the other DRG facilities. Most of those, at least the ones that I visited, were in strip malls. And I think that's part of where some of these challenges are, that this facility is actually in a residential, two residential communities right near the school. Like, I think that's where a lot of these problems are happening. Aurora, Lakewood, like, they don't really look like this. And I think that might be why there's so many issues here. This is a highly dense residential neighborhood. And, you know, the problems have just proliferated. So I thank you for your time. I don't really have anything else to add. I hope there
thanks
can be some.
For adding that. Thanks for adding that. And again, it's this particular clinic is going to continue to have, you know, various different issues at various different points. And we will do our best to continue to address the things we said we were going to address.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Denise, I appreciate your time and giving us the background. I think you have so much on your plate. I get it because I do all the things too. So I'm like, I also have a grant due tomorrow. Are we going for the same grant? But I say all that to say that we appreciate you giving us your time and your perspective. Lori and Randall, I know you guys have some other spaces that you guys can add to. And to Denise's point, they don't always have all the puzzle pieces. And so I think that let's go ahead and schedule the next meeting so that we can have a timeline of what's going to happen next. It looks like Thursdays are what's going well. I think to Denise's point, things are taking time. So we see like in a month, she got some things moving, but it looks like she's going to need more time than just a month. The other beautiful part about this conversation is that we did meet with DPD. So they gave us some solutions to handle in between the next few months that we try to fix all the problems. And I put all of the suggestions in an email that I will send to you guys after this, as well as email addresses and the specific language that they asked us to use as well. If everybody is available May 1st, that's a 2-month window for this team, Charles, Bo, everyone to be able to say, we signed a lease, we filed a trespassing agreement, we called 911. It's also time for the neighbors to say, we see the changes, and it's actually time for them to do that. What I do want to encourage our neighbors to do is to give them the time. I know that in the last month, what we were doing was emailing them everything that was happening at the same time, which can also be a little overwhelming. And so what I would like for us to do is let's use those police emails that we'll have on file and send them everything that's happening so they also have the documentation. And then let's go ahead and, if you can, send me the information. And that way I can compile everything. And then next month, I will send the clinic everybody's details.